How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Welcome, listeners, to a bonus episode of A Tale of Two Hygienists. Michelle and I are recording this to answer one specific question. So we had a listener, she's a pretty good friend of the show, to be honest. Her name's Katie. And she wrote me a message that I think that it should be addressed to everyone, just in case you guys were wondering about kind of like us, like Michelle and I. She said, hi, Andrew. Looks like the roundtable was a success, and that she was referring to the roundtable that we did in Las Vegas for the townie meeting 2016. And I had posted some photos on there, and it was really well received, and we really enjoyed it. And so she asked, "Can I ask how you got into that?" And I asked her kind of to clarify it, and she was talking about getting into being asked to do event speaking and things like that. Because she is starting to do some speaking, but I think feels like the reason why she's getting asked to do things is because she's part of like ADHA and kind of maybe either at a local level or, maybe even a national level because of those reasons. And so Michelle, I think the question that I wanted to ask to you, I kind of want to put it to you, and then her and I actually talked on the phone. So then I'll, tell you kind of what I told her on the phone, but how did you get into not only just speaking, but like the educational part of it?
So the educational part of it was because I was getting my bachelor's degree in dental hygiene. Well, technically it was health science, and I had intentions of becoming an educator. And it just happened to be that I approached my school, my alma mater, and they were looking for adjunct faculty. So I kind of started in clinic. So I didn't really teach like didactical things at first. It was just more clinical. And then I got my master's degree. So I guess mine all stemmed from my degrees because my first thing, of course, was teaching in a class. That's where my original, I guess, speaking started. But also because I presented at ADHA my thesis research. And I was chosen to do that. So I don't know. I guess it started with my degrees and then what I was doing with that and my original intention of being an educator. And then my job with TEPE has afforded me these other speaking opportunities. But everything has definitely started out small and has grown. And, now I'm flying around doing this stuff, but it was like, I taught my local component a CE course. It's speaking in front of the students, which is really nice because you always know more than the students. So you shouldn't be nervous when you're up there talking to them.
And I feel like that's kind of to be a great speaker, you have to have a lot of confidence. And in the townie talk that I gave, I kind of talked a little bit about having confidence versus arrogance. There's a certain humility that you kind of have to have. It was really great. But it, you know, it's a very fine line to walk, you know, between the two, you know. For me, Katie, and then also for other listeners, I want to say I'd written five things out of kind of my response to her. One of them is what you touched on, Michelle, with your education. So if you don't have the education behind it, slash knowledge, you know, on certain topics or whatever.
I was going to say knowledge is good, because you don't necessarily have to have an extended, like, postgraduate and all that kind of stuff. You just need to be knowledgeable, and not just knowledgeable, like, this is what I do in my office and it works for me. Like, you need to have the ability to research properly and decipher the research and understand, like, the levels of research, so that you don't just get, like, these little baby studies and you're like, oh, look, this shows this. And really, it's like, yeah, but that was just like a little sample pilot study. There's so many limitations and issues within this research study. Like, you need to be able to understand, I think, that. And that does come from a degree, because you take these classes, but it is definitely achievable to, like, you can learn this outside of a degree. But I think what you're saying is correct. Like, you need to be knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say, though, that some speakers out there do go out there with just their little one horse show about, this is what I've done in my office for the last 30 years, and this is why we are, you know, the most right. People do that a lot. I just wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I think another thing you actually touched on too was small scale experience. I have that written down, where you start out at your local components, or I think my first start, I mean, I've been speaking in church and things like that, so I have some speaking experience for that. But for hygiene, one of my first experiences was going back to the school that I graduated from and explaining about doing mission trips. And I gave a little 1 hour lunch and learn thing for them. Just because I thought that would be interesting for them. So I started there and then I did some kind of small scale things. I went to another college over in Idaho, and I've done some stuff, like in smaller offices. And then it got to the point where one of the offices that I went to, I actually met her on Hygiene Town, and it was in Taos, New Mexico. And then she actually got me into speaking at the, New Mexico Dental Hygiene meeting. Their annual session. So it started out small, started slowly growing bigger. The townie talks was because I was already going to be there for the dental hygiene roundtable. And so I think they just, you know, put two and two together and said, hey, why don't you go ahead and do this as well? And the reason why I got onto the dental hygiene roundtable, like being the moderator for that, is because I actually proposed that as a plan to for End Media. But the other thing, so we have education / knowledge, small scale experience. And then number three was searching it out. So that's what I ended up doing for them. Is I proposed this plan and I said, hey, I'd be happy to run with it. And they gave me a lot of autonomy to search out the people that I wanted on the panel, which is really fun. And I had a bunch of people that I had wanted. Unfortunately, a lot of them couldn't be there. And that was kind of sad, because we ended up having a great panel. It's just that, it was kind of lopsided. There's, you know, three men up there and two women. So I'd like to have more women kind of involved too. But, so I searched it out. And I think the other thing though, too, I have on here is sometimes, like you had mentioned with Tepe, you do some speaking because it's job related. And so, that's number four for the thing I have written down is in my office, you know, there's only four hygienists. Yeah, sure. As a lead hygienist, I'll run a meeting and say, this is, you know, here, this is our progress, yada, yada. And then maybe they'll say, okay, can you present this to another office? Okay, can you present it to one of our regional meetings or whatever? And so there are opportunities. I have never actually had to do that myself, but there are opportunities within bigger companies to do that as well. So if you work for a moderately sized company, that's something that you should seek out. And then the last thing I have, and Michelle, hopefully you agree with this, is luck. For sure, lots and lots and lots of luck.
Yeah, sometimes you do fall into it, honestly. I would probably add to your list or expand on it. You touched on, I think, making your own opportunity. I mean, if you want to be a speaker and you want to be out there, sometimes you have to make your own opportunities, tell people what you are knowledgeable on, create, like you said, you created this round table, you presented this idea. I think a lot of our guests on our podcast all say the same thing, that it's all about, if you know it, go find it. Like, or if it doesn't exist, figure it out and make it exist. So make your own opportunity for sure. And then networking, I think not just networking, but it's almost like a domino effect, like you mentioned, where you'll go to one and they'll say, Hey, come to this study club, or could you come and present this? I think these people would really like this presentation. And then it just kind of snowballs and becomes something bigger for sure. And then also, I mean, if the question is like, how do you get better? How do you even start? How do you get, for lack of a better word, balls to do it? I think doing something like Toastmasters.
Yes.
Is a great experience.
I absolutely agree. I think a lot of people that I've talked to, even this last weekend with Linda was talking about Toastmasters a lot. Because we all, and I feel kind of bad about, you know, pointing this out in front of everyone, but Linda and I and Daniel are extremely introverted people. We don't really like getting up in front of crowds. I enjoy it once I'm there, but there's just so much anxiety and stuff like that. And if I ever get stuck in front of an audience, it's one of the worst feelings I've ever had. So, Linda was doing this thing where she would like scratch her, like in between her index finger and her middle finger, whatever that little between the two bones right there. She just started scratching as she was speaking, as just like a nervous habit. But she said that she did a lot of Toastmasters, things like that, to even just get to that point where she was having, you know, just so much anxiety. And she said it helped a lot. So I would absolutely agree. And networking, I think there's a difference between networking and name dropping. Well, I hope there's a difference.
Oh, for sure. Oh, I think absolutely.
A lot of time on the podcast, you know, we drop a lot of names, but I want you guys to know, though, it's because we've just met these people and we're still really excited to be friends with them or / you know, networking acquaintances or whatever. So when we have people like Sarah Thiel, who's actually a friend of mine now, but Deborah Carrier, you know, Andy Cotting, who are some of the other ones that, you know, of course, Daniel and Howard Ferran, all these people.
Trisha O'Hare. And I mean, we have great people on. It's a networking thing, and using that network to not just say, oh yeah, Trisha O'Hare was on our podcast. It's like Trisha O'Hare taught us something and I learned something from her, and I'm going to take what she used or she saw something, and I'm going to take whatever she saw in me or the topic that I was talking about, and I'm going to expand on that and bring it back to her maybe. Or, you know, what it can look at like so many different things, honestly.
And for us, we've used, and I don't want to say use, leverage. No, leverage is a bad word too. I'm not really sure what word I want to use, but we have cultivated new friendships. So for example, the only reason why I know Lewis Myers from American Eagle Instruments is because of my friend Mark Frias. I was asking for people that would be good for this panel, and he suggested that we get in touch, and we did. And it's been a great, you know, relationship ever since. Karen Siebert is the one that introduced us to several people in Chicago Midwinter. Sarah Thiel also took us around and, you know, introduced us to several people. And it's just been that's kind of how it starts. You just make one friend, and guess what, listeners? We're your friends. So reach out to Michelle and I, and we'll introduce you guys to people that we know, even though our network is still really small, but we'll help you guys get to wherever you want to get. We've had lots of people write in, and hopefully, you know, we've been helpful for them. And you know, if you guys have some sort of, I don't want to say products, that's, you know, we're not here to peddle products, but if you have some sort of idea or something that you're working on that you're excited about and you want to share, let's get you guys on the podcast, because that's the whole point of what we're doing, is to get you guys some experience, some exposure. And again, the networking is not a bad thing at all. I feel like sometimes it's a bad word in certain circles.
Well, I think just being altruistic with your intentions, like yours, I think we are. I think we want to learn, and we do want to get our names out there, but we would also love to help people. Mm-hmm. And I think just taking it will come to fruition one day. Like, whatever you are actually, you have a desire to do and a passion to do, and if you are not going to step on people to get to that,
yes,
I think it will come to fruition and it will be something great. And so but you got to start somewhere, and maybe it's small. And also I would say writing, getting your name out there as a writer. I hate writing. I don't like to do it, but it is a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it is a necessary evil, but you know, you just got to start small and just take that leap. And I would say practice. If you are nervous, practice. Mm-hmm. Practice a lot. I think you and I are very different with how we go into our presentations, where you're like, I haven't even written my talk until like on the flight over, and I have done it like 6 weeks in advance, and I've been practicing for a week straight.
Yeah.
Like, because for me, if I do get that moment where I go blank, or you know, maybe an audience member asked me a question and I'm like off of my role that I was on, I want to be able to jump back on there, not because of it's a memorization, but because it's just second nature.
Sure. Sure. And I can appreciate
that
too.
I know it so well.
And that's the thing, is my sources are just a little bit different. So as I'm writing, it's not like I'm willy-nilly writing, you know, the whole speech right before. For some reason, I like to kind of cultivate like the topic. And then I have an opener, my body, and my close. And the funny thing is, like, I wrote my opening literally 2 minutes before I went on. And the only reason is I wrote probably at least a dozen different openings. It's not like my writing style is just a little bit different. It's not like I'm never really set, because what I thought was going to happen was I was going to go into this townie talk, and there was going to be, I'm not kidding you, I honestly thought not more than 50 people. Because even though it's a general session, who wants to see a freaking hygienist on the last day give the last townie talk? I mean, it's just, I feel, I don't know. But what ended up happening, and I mentioned this in the townie talk, it was, you know, well, everyone wants the CE for that. So not only do you get the 300 or so people that were already there from the very beginning, but then you get the people that are slowly trickling in towards the end just so they can get the code, so they can write down their, you know, whatever for their CE. So it was very, I was surprised by the number of people that were there right before I went on. So the joke that I had prepared for the very beginning was no longer going to work. And so I had to rewrite it.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that this is, you know, this is probably long enough, and I hope that answers Katie, your question. Sam, I know that you and I talked on the phone, and I hope that that it helped. Again, we're here for you though, for anything. If you guys have any questions, we'll absolutely give our advice on and kind of tell you how we got to where we're at, which is probably only a step ahead of where most of you guys are at, but we'll help you guys take that step if we can.
Exactly. I totally agree. And just, you know, last final thought would be, you know, be calculating, but be altruistic with your intentions of what you want to do in this profession, and it will happen.
I absolutely agree. All right. Thanks, listeners, for putting up with us for this little special bonus episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.